You're listening to the Sierra Likes Dogs podcast, episode number 9. Actual episode number 9, though, because last time I said it was episode number 9, and it was episode number 8, so that's embarrassing. Oh my god, guess what? I'm a certified dog trainer. I passed all my assessments, and I am now certified through the Karen Pryor Academy. You can't see me, but I'm punching the air right now because I'm so excited. Poo, 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 poo. So in this episode, I just wanted to talk about all the little people I had to step on to get to where I am today and all my success and infinite glory. It all started back in 2014. When I first discovered that I could be a dog trainer and make a living, because when I was growing up, I never thought that that's something you could actually do. I thought it was a hobby. I thought it was not something that you could get paid for or get paid well for. When I was 24, I realized that I could actually make a living from this. And I learned there are some actual schools out there and some companies and some associations who will certify you and say, yeah, this bitch is cool and she's a good trainer and hire her. There are a couple schools out there, like the one that I went to called the Karen Pryor Academy. There's the Jean Donaldson Academy. There is Spark or Stark or something else. There's Animal Behavior College, which is the McDonald's of dog training. No offense. And then there are a couple associations that just ask for credit hours and for you to pass a test, like the Certified Council for Professional Dog Trainers, the IIABC or whatever the hell that is. I know I sound rude, but I can't remember what all these letters stand for. And then there's one other one. Can't remember. A lot of dog trainers are actually dually certified. They'll do usually the CCBTDBDBTT, the Certified Council for Professional Dog Trainers, the CCPDT, and then the KPA is also a really popular one. There are over 1,000 graduates of the KPA, which is pretty small, but considering that this is a growing industry, it's really picking up steam. When I first decided that I wanted to do the Certified Council for Professional Dog Trainers, they require 200 hands-on hours, 3 recommendations, one from a vet, one from a colleague, and one from a client, and you have to pass this big test. I decided I was going to do that route. That's the most popular route right now, I would say. In my humble opinion, a lot of people go that direction. I had a really hard time with the self-study, with like the self, like doing it yourself. Like, it's not that I'm not motivated or anything, but I felt uncomfortable promoting myself as a dog trainer, asking for clients to get the hands-on training to become the certified dog trainer. Does that make sense? It just seemed a little bit backwards to me. I wanted to get the certification and then promote myself as a dog trainer and train people's dogs. I did assist in a training class at the boarding facility I worked at, but that doesn't count. Assisting only can count for 75% of your 200 hours. 75%? 75 hours of your 200 hours. They cap you. Or was it 25? Oh God, I don't remember. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. So I just didn't like the fact that I had to pretend to be a dog trainer in order to get hours to be a dog trainer. My friend did the CCDTPDT and he worked at Petco. And they have a tiny little certification thing that they walk you through. He did a lot of independent study, and then that's how he got his hours, which was training through Petco, which I think is a good route to go. So I kind of struggled with that for 2 years, like trying to get a client, but like, I'm not actually a dog trainer. I don't know. That was my own personal battle. I mean, I am a dog trainer. It doesn't matter what is what. There. So anyway, I got kind of tired of like waiting around, like, how do I do? I need to get this ball rolling, hunty. So I just took the plunge. I plugged my nose and plunged through the financial depths that is the Karen Pryor Academy. And I don't want to talk about that anymore. Let's not talk about finances. But I had an interview and I had to give them 2 recommendations. And then they decided that I was cool enough to attend. To be honest, I thought that this was like, oh, you just sign up and you go through the school and you're certified. No. Mm-mm. No, that is not how it goes. You have to put in all your efforts. You have to do all the work. It wasn't easy. I don't know why I thought it would be easy. I guess life is just never what you expect it to be, and that's fine. But it was so much harder than I thought it was going to be. And I am so glad that it was harder than I ever thought it was going to be, because I learned a lot about myself, about my dog, and about dogs in general, and about clicker training. So I signed up in April. I joined my local chapter, if you will, in May. And what they do is you go through, they have all this online curriculum that you read through, and you do like sections at a time, and you go to 4 different in-person workshops. You have 4 chapters that you read through, and you train your dog how to do these behaviors, and you have homework and stuff. And then in a month or month and a half, you meet up with your local chapter and you show all the behaviors that you've learned and you taught your dog. You just do some hands-on stuff and you learn a little bit more. That's like how it usually goes. And I did that. I went to 1 workshop, and I'm amazed that I even got any of the behaviors done, considering June and the first week of July was harvest. And I was so incredibly busy. I am shocked I had time to train Tesla. And I did. She learned all her behaviors. I think we didn't do 1, but that's beside the point. Come August, I believe, some drama happened. And I had to leave my local chapter and defer, is what they call it. They have different locations in some states. Not all states have this, but some states do. Oregon, Washington, and California have their own instructors. Idaho doesn't, I believe. But I had the choice to join Washington's group, which was 4.5 hours away from me, or California, which was 9 hours for 1 week. And I chose to go to California. Washington would not have been as fun. I would have had to go to Washington 4 times for each workshop during like our winter, which this winter has been really bad, and they've been shutting down freeways left and right. And so I'm glad I didn't choose that. Plus, I wouldn't have been done until April, or was it February, March? Either way, California was up first, and it was just going to be like a one shot. So everything was online. You trained your dog's behaviors, and then you took a video of it and sent it to your instructor for feedback. And then at the very end of everything, there was a 5-day workshop, Monday through Friday, in Sacramento, California. And so that's called the National Program. And I chose that one, and I was like, who doesn't want to go to sunny California in January? Boy, was I wrong. Not only did I have to leave Oregon 3 days earlier than I wanted to because of a snowstorm and they like to shut down the freeways, but it rained almost the entire time I was in California. Flood warnings. The state is no longer in a drought thanks to Sierra Molesworth because she brought the Oregon rains with her, hunty. Oh my God, it was crazy. So the workshop was Monday through Friday, and it was a little nerve-wracking because I had to make sure that everything was ready when I left. I had to make sure that I packed absolutely everything I needed. There was no forgetting anything. So packing was a little stressful, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Even though I do not have a good track record with packing, I did really well. I think I forgot 1 thing. And I don't think it was a big deal either. All your behaviors had to be on point. All of the dog's behaviors. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we were going through sections of the program and we were showing our behaviors and talking amongst each other, training each other's dogs, pretending to be clients for each other. There was a lot of role playing, a lot of mock stuff going on. It was a lot of fun. It was really, really stressful for me though. Being an introvert, it doesn't matter for me. It does not matter for me. I enjoy showing off with Tesla. We have a good time. We are performers. But I still get so nervous and so stressed out before I have to go up and do things. It's amazing that she still like responds to me. I guess it's because it's always been that way. Every time we were in class or every time like in agility, I always get nervous. It's exhausting. It was an exhausting week to be stressed out. I would say I finally calmed down on Thursday after I had a successful 10 behavior chain. My adrenal glands, my hormones were just pumping fight or flight almost the whole time. It wasn't the best situation as far as someone who has a hard time with anxiety or being super introverted. There was one other lady there we were in the same boat. We were both just anxious. It's not like we didn't do what we were supposed to do. It's not like that we didn't believe in ourselves. It's just, it was a lot of pressure on 5 days, and it was a lot of pressure in 2 assignments on that Friday. Thursday was like, get ready for your tests on Friday. And on Friday, we had the 10 behavior chain, which is the dog has to do 10 behaviors in a row with no breaks. You have to have 4 different types of cues. So, and they could only be one cue. To ask Tesla to sit, I can either say sit or choose the hand signal, but I had to do one. I couldn't do both. So there's hand signal, verbal, physical touch, and nonverbal noise, I guess. All of mine were hand signals. I had a couple of verbal cues, and then I had a whistle, which was my nonverbal noise one, and then I physically tapped her on the nose and she would wipe her muzzle with her paw. And on Thursday, we had the opportunity just to kind of demonstrate and just go, oh, hey guys, here's my 10 behavior chain. And she did it. And I was like, yes, okay, we can do it. I have the focus. We're going to be okay. And that's where I kind of calmed down. So you have the chain and then you have a teaching assessment and you teach a fake class to your peers. And I've taught classes before and I was not worried at all about that. So Thursday night, I like really calmed down. They don't give you the certification the day of. I guess that puts in case someone's batshit crazy, it puts the instructor in an awkward position to award, like, you pass, you pass, you pass, but you don't. And also she films our 10 behavior chain just to make sure that she didn't like miss anything in real life. So it was a little disappointing leaving without a certification, but I was very sure that I had passed. I would have been absolutely shocked if I did not. I felt really good about it. I heard by Monday, I got the email on Monday saying that I passed, and my stuff won't get here for 6 to 8. That's like in March. I get a diploma and something else. Oh, I could look it up right now, but I don't want to. So I get like this cute little packet and I get this thing to sign and I get this diploma and everything is suitable for framing and life is just happily ever after. I won't get to see it until March. Yeah. 6 to 8 weeks puts me in March. Ugh, I want it now. I want that stuff right meow. So I was on cloud 9 for a day. I mean, I still am. I'm still really excited. I just found out a couple days ago. I had 2 of my friends ask, like, okay, what now? What's next? And I was like, what? I have to think of something else. I have to do something else. Like, this has been my thing for the last 2 years. And now I'm not lost or anything like that. I have plans. Like, I'm doing things. You know, your homegirl is out there. She hustling and whatnot. For a second, I was like, wow, what is next? Because I've been working on this. I've been doing this. And now I don't have to train Tesla every night. We can just do it for fun. Oh my God. The world is my oyster, I tell you. I'm so excited. Anyway, I mean, that was my adventure. That was my KPA experience. I would suggest it for people like me who have a hard time doing things on their own, like the 200 credit hours without being certified. I also think it's good for someone who already has a background in training. I don't think that they accept people who have no idea what training is. You need to have some kind of a base going before you get in there. I recommend it. I recommend the school route for people who have a hard time doing things on their own, like getting, like, acquiring hours. Like, that was hard for me. I like the structure. I learned a lot. I really did. And I love clicker training. And I'm bummed that I ever thought that it would be a crutch. Like, oh God, I have to have a clicker. Well, you know what? It has opened up a lot of doors and it makes training so much fun and easy. Like, I could go on about that all day. But some people don't want to use a clicker, and that's fine. I get that. But it's one of those things where you don't want to use it until you see how awesome it is. And then you're like, why would I never want to use this? Okay. I mean, anyway, ta-da, that's it. I'm certified now. So that makes me really cool, in case you didn't already know. If you liked this podcast, leave me a message. Wait, no, that's not what you say. Leave me a review in iTunes, right? And check me out online at Sierra Likes Dogs. Boy, am I stuttering today. That's where you'll find me. Insta, Facebook, website, all at Sierra Likes Dogs. All right, see you guys next week. Bye.